Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Victory in Jesus. And I want to ask, do you know all the great things Jesus did for you to conquer Satan and set you free? Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, I preached on God's great miracles, which He works to save us. Last week, if you remember, I preached on the devil's pretended signs and wonders, which he works to deceive and destroy. This week, in this final sermon on this mini-series, I'd like to preach with you on Christ's great victory over all the powers of darkness, and how God's miracles triumph over the devil's pretended signs and wonders every time. But I want to ask you, how confident do you think we can be as Christians when we face evil things in the world, wickedness and trouble? How courageous can we be when we face even the evil one himself? Well, the answer to that, how courageous can we be? We can be as confident as our Lord Jesus is triumphant. Amen? Amen? So let's take a look today at how triumphant Jesus is over Satan and over all his pretended signs and wonders on our behalf. How complete is his triumph? How consummate is his victory? That you may be made the more courageous whenever you face evil or the evil one in your life. And so for your listening ease today, I'd like to share my points, all beginning with the letter P, so that you can remember them, hopefully, when you go home. So, what kind of victory has our Lord Jesus gotten over the devil? Let's take a look. First, his victory was a powerful victory. You know why? Because he fought a very powerful foe. You know, many people in the world today don't even believe in the devil. They don't believe he exists. Therefore, he has no power because he's not even a being. But we know better than that. We know that he exists and that his power is indeed great. Consider, if you will, for a moment, the origin of this fallen angel, this wicked spirit that contends against our souls. We read in Ezekiel chapter 28, which I take to be of the devil. God says, "You are the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone is your covering. With an anointed guardian cherub I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God, in the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. In the abundance of your trade you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and the guardian cherub drove you out from the midst of the stones of fire." So who are we fighting against here as Christians? Just a little tiny little angel, a cherub sitting up there with a golden bow? No. It says here, if this is indeed of the devil, a great and mighty angel amongst the cherubim themselves, super in power, splendid in beauty, but his heart was filled with pride in his own beauty. The next verse reads, "As a matter of fact, your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings," says God. So, a great, powerful angel is the one we're contending against. And Jesus contended against. How great was his victory? Well, just look at how great his foe was. Jesus says he's a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. And we read he has the power of the lie, right? He has the power of death, even. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, it says of Jesus, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same nature, so that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage." Think about that. He's got the power of the lie. He's got the power of death. And he's got the power of the whole world in his hands. Because, remember when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness? He shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he says, "All to you I'll give all this authority and their glory. For it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will." Think about that. The power. Peter calls him a roaring lion. John called him a great red dragon. And Moses called him a snake. Now, many churches, you don't even hear about the devil. In modern day, never been mentioned. And yet, what would it be like if I were training troops for World War II and never mentioned Hitler? He's also called in the Bible Leviathan. What's Leviathan? Anybody know?
Big whale.
Leviathan, not quite a whale, although it is a great sea creature. Yes. It's a creature that's no longer on earth these days. It's described, it was alive in Job's days, and God just gives a description of it, and the devil in the Bible is likened to Leviathan. Let's read a little bit about this creature. God says, "Can you fill his skin with harpoons, or his head with fishing spears? Lay hands on him, think of the battle, you will not do it again. Behold, the hope of a man is disappointed. He's laid low at the very sight of him." What was this creature? Out of his mouth go flaming torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. In his neck abides strength, and terror dances before him. His heart is hard as a stone, hard as the nether millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. At the crashing, they're beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it doesn't avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. He laughs at the rattle of javelins. Upon earth there is not his like, a creature without fear. He beholds everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. That's a dinosaur. That's being described here, which is a sermon for another day. But the devil is likened to this great sea creature, this great dragon, fire-breathing. And who can fight against him? Who can fight against this Leviathan, this beast? Who can face him and defeat him? But the one and only Son of God, as it's written, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So my first point is, it's a powerful victory we're rejoicing in today. You can't face Leviathan on your own. Not even the angels. You know, even the archangel Michael was contending against the devil one day, Jude says, and he would not even pronounce a judgment against the devil, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But Jesus stood face to face, toe to toe, fist to fist, and defeated him by his word of truth, and slew the dragon for us, and by his mighty death and resurrection. And so I want you to rejoice first in the powerful victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he fought a very powerful foe. What kind of confidence and courage can you have when you face him? Well, the answer is, as great as our Lord is triumphant, and he is. Secondly, it's a promised victory. You know, way back in the very beginning, when there was the first sin and man fell into death, the first word against the devil, against Satan, was this. Genesis chapter 3. God says, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." What's that mean? It's a prophesy that between the children of God and the children of the devil, there'd forever be strife, but also that the woman's seed, the woman's offspring, one of her descendants, God says, one day will crush your head, O serpent. And who is that descendant? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the promised one. Because remember, there would be the piercing of the heel. The devil would pierce his heel. What happened to Jesus on the cross? His heels were pierced, right? Nail right through them. And by that shed blood, though, of our Lord, he crushed the head of the serpent. So it's a promised victory. It's also a predicted victory and a previewed victory. You know, all the Old Testament stories, if you look at David and Goliath and Moses and Pharaoh and Samson and the Philistines, these are all great fun stories. Tell us about the saints. But they're really about our Lord Jesus Christ, the greater David facing the greater Goliath. And his victory is so predicted that you can basically put his whole story together just by the Old Testament. Listen to Genesis 49. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." What's that mean? What's a scepter? That's for a king. They didn't even have kings when this was written. But it says it shall belong to the tribe of Judah shall come your king, says God. What was Jesus born of? The line of Judah, and the line of David, and the line of Noah, and the line of Abraham, as prophesied. We also know it was predicted that he'd be born in the fourth kingdom from Daniel's time, in the Roman Empire, and it came to pass. Isaiah predicted he'd preach good news to the poor, set at liberty the captives, perform miracles, cause the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the dead to be raised. And at his trial, he didn't open his mouth, as Isaiah prophesied, was crucified between criminals, as prophesied, was buried in a rich man's tomb, as prophesied, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And so we have a powerful victory, we have a promised victory, and we have a predicted victory. How great is our Lord Jesus Christ? God said, "Behold, I'll bring my servant the branch," he said through Zechariah, "and I'll remove the guilt of this land in a single day." Anybody out there without sin today? We've all sinned. Therefore, you're under the power, under the talons of that dragon. And God says, "But I'm going to remove that guilt in a day. One day. Just give me one day." You didn't need to take it from us, but on that cross, in one day, he removed all of our guilt. Isn't that a beautiful victory? You know what it says in Isaiah chapter 27? "In that day, the Lord, with his hard and strong and great sword, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, a pleasant vineyard, sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water. Lest anyone harm it, I guard it night and day. I have no wrath." What does he say over us today? "You are my garden. I have protected you. I have saved you with my own outstretched right arm." So a powerful victory, a promised victory, a predicted victory. How courageous can you be? As courageous as our Lord was triumphant. And also a very present victory. You know, God could have just saved us from his throne in heaven, right? He has the power? Amen? Sure. At least he could have destroyed the devil, that is. But he came into our lives. He came down to this world for our sakes. He struck down the serpent face to face, being born as a man. And imagine the absolute, utter humiliation. The devil is so proud of himself and so high in his own esteem, self-esteem, that he thinks himself so great. But here's a naked man, nearly naked man on the cross, and strikes him down with a blow. How great is our Lord? It says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus, in his life, his whole purpose through his ministry was to continually destroy Satan's territory. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. Devil means accuser, by the way. And what does he say every time? "It is written, it is written, it is written. Victory, victory, victory." And he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. He goes to a woman who is, he says, "You are freed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight. Praise God. Synagogue ruler says, "There are 6 days on which to heal. Come on one of those days, not on a Sabbath day." And Jesus says, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead him away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things done by him. So what's Jesus doing in his ministry? Destroying the devil's work in the world. And he set people free from demons, from diseases, and he forgave sins. Because the devil binds people by sins, doesn't he? He accuses people. Look, they've broken God's law. Jesus released people from their sins. He said to the adulterous woman, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." He said to that really sinful woman, remember in the Pharisee's house? Your sins are forgiven. Who is this that can forgive sins? Said the people at the table. He says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He had the authority to forgive sins because he's the Son of Man, the Son of God. And so, he even raised the dead and set people free from that bondage. While he was still speaking, a man from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore? Jesus, on hearing it, said, don't fear. Only believe, and she shall be well. He went into the house and said, arise. And up she came from the dead, because Jesus has the power over Leviathan. He has the power over the devil, and he raises from the dead. Jesus said, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when one stronger than he assails him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoil. Is Jesus that strong man? Say amen.
Amen.
Is Jesus that strong man?
Amen.
Amen, he is. Let's shout it like we really believe it this time. Is Jesus that strong man?
Amen.
Amen, he's given you victory over the devil and over all his pretended signs and wonders. What a jubilant people he wants us to be. And it was a public victory as well. Paul said to Festus, this thing wasn't done in a corner. When Jesus, remember, was at the high priest at his trial, he said, I have always spoken openly to the world. I've done nothing, and I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple. I've said nothing secretly. His ministry was public, his preaching was public, and his victory over the devil was public. Oh, how that must have infuriated and mocked the devil. So proud he is of his ways. But we read, all flesh shall see the salvation of God publicly. Jesus was crucified in a very public place near the city so that people from all over could come by and see him there. And over him, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And they saw it. And what a mockery he made of the devil. Paul says, he forgave us all our trespasses. He canceled the bond, the law, which stood against us with its legal demands. He set aside this, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities. What's that? Princedoms, spiritual hosts of wickedness, demons in high places. He disarmed them, robbed them of their weaponry and their powers. And it says he made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him, in the cross. Public shame, just stole the weapons right out of their hands, because his shed blood sets people free from their sins. The devil is the accuser. He wants to say they've broken God's law, but now Jesus' blood pleads, but they're forgiven and set free. And I nailed that law over there. You have no longer any right to accuse my people, O Leviathan. What a mockery. Imagine the shame. Imagine the disgust. Imagine the furious rage of the devil when he was publicly shamed by a nearly naked man on that cross, that man though being the Son of Man, the Son of God. It was not only public, but it was a perpetual victory. Do you know it applies to you today? We read in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, the former priests in the Old Testament, there were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he's able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What's that mean? Jesus' death on the cross was a once-for-all victory that applies to you today. Do you feel any weight of your sins? You ever feel accused in your mind, these haunting thoughts saying, bad person, wrong, you're so bad, coming after you, accusing you? Well, that may be your own conscience. If so, repent if you've broken God's word. But it may be the devil hounding you, saying, you're no Christian, look at the things you do. But you know what? You don't have to be afraid of that. Christ gotten the victory over it. What must I do to be saved, said the Philippian jailer, say we? The answer, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household. Isn't that beautiful? That's victory, friends. And the great dragon was thrown down, says John. That ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God is, and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. They've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Isn't that fabulous? Do you live in freedom today? Is your conscience free of sin? That's the victory and the triumph Jesus gives you, and the hope and certainty of eternal life in him. And all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us, says Paul. Death can't stop you. Life can't stop you. Angels and principalities can't stop you. Anything in the present can't stop you. Anything to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the victory we're celebrating. So rejoice then, O heaven, says John, and you that dwell therein, woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Don't you see that in the world when you look at the news? And all the killings and the murder and the wickedness increasing? He knows that his time is short, which leads to the next. Jesus' victory will be made perfect on a day soon to come. Completed, that is. The devil's fate is sealed. John says in Revelation 20, the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. And Christ will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. What a victory we have, right? What a fabulous Savior. And we read, oh, how you are fallen, O day star, O son of dawn, the devil. Ah, you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I'll ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God, you look in the mirror and say, who's the fairest of them all? And the devil said, I'm the fairest of them all, not him. Said, I'll set my throne on high, above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far north, said the devil. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol and to the depths of the pit. Isn't that fabulous? You are free from death, from sin, from the devil, by Jesus. And this is the best, greatest adventure and rescue story of all time, with the best hero, the altogether good and righteous King, Jesus. His victory was powerful, right? Can you do it with me? Promised, predicted, present, public, perpetual, perfect, and the last one, purposeful. Isaiah 43, because you are precious in my eyes, says God, and honored, and I love you. Think about that. Because I love you. Jesus came and died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And we share in that victory, friends, through faith in Jesus Christ. So with the saints, with the cherubim, with the angels, and with all creatures, we sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Victory in Jesus, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to just stop by and visit, our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran Church is located on A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to leave a comment on this message or hear more messages, you can go to ChristLutheran915.org. That's ChristLutheran915.org. Thanks for tuning in. And I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls, and God bless you.